So that video I showed a little while ago, could anybody identify with anything in that? Do your kids ever cry? That reminded me of a story of my childhood growing up in Iowa. My brother and I have one brother, Matt, and I had a fish tank. And Mom, you know where this is going? We had this fish tank in it, and we had to clean it like monthly. And so what we would do is we would get the fish out of the fish tank, put it in another bowl so that we could clean the tank. And so we did that, we cleaned it, and my brother was bringing the bowl of fish back to put into the aquarium, and he dropped it. And I was on the ground trying to get the fish because they were flopping around on the ground. My brother, I think, had cut his hand or something and might have been bleeding, and he was crying, and I'll never forget the words from my mom. Oh, quit your crying. It was said out of love. But there's the love of a mom is awesome, though, isn't it? I know my mom loved us growing up very much, still loves us to this day, loves me. I'll never forget, she would play catch with us. Baseball was the big thing I did as a little kid. When Dad wasn't around, she would go out and play catch, even though she never really played baseball or softball. And she could only do it till we were a certain age, because I remember her saying, you know, when we started throwing too hard, she just couldn't do it anymore. And so the love of a mom is awesome. And it's actually quite fitting today because we are going to be talking in this passage about love. So the last 2 weeks leading up today, we've had passages from the Gospel of John. And we've heard about how Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven. And then we also heard about Jesus being the only door to the sheep pen when we talked about Jesus being our good shepherd. And so the passage that we're going to look at today is also from the Gospel of John. And if you have one of those Bibles that has the words of Jesus in red, this section, this John 14, 15 through 21, is all red. Because every single word in it is words from Jesus. And just to give you a little context before we dive into this, these words of Jesus were said after the Last Supper had occurred in the upper room, before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. These are words that Jesus said to his disciples. Because Jesus knew that he was going to be leaving them soon. He was going to be killed on the cross. He would rise, and then 40 days after that, he would ascend back into heaven. So Jesus has some giant things to share with them here in these verses specifically. Because things are about to change big time for the disciples. In fact, the world as we know it would never be the same a couple days after Jesus says this, because of what he did by dying and rising again. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples with instructions on how to live with one another as a family, because he knew what his disciples were going to go through as they went out sharing the love of Jesus, and how important it would be to be a part of this Christian family that we are in. The importance of loving one another as we go about sharing the love of Jesus. So not only is Jesus instructing them, he's going to be equipping them in these verses, which includes you and I, by the way. These are words spoken to us as well. And so the passage is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 11, or 21, and the first and last verse, Jesus drives home this point. In verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then in verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the first question that came to my mind when I read these is, well, which commandments is Jesus talking about? Which commandments? What is the instruction? The instruction is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So in other words, if we say we love Jesus, then we should keep his commandments. If we say we love Jesus and don't keep his commandments, we don't really love Jesus. These are very big words coming from Jesus. That should convict us all, but he's also instructing us and telling us how to live with one another. And so I can only imagine what would be going through the minds of those disciples when they heard this, you know, from Jesus, these words. You know, which commandments exactly are you talking about, Jesus? Because let's be honest, some of those commandments are easier to keep than others, am I right? Nobody wants to admit that. So which ones are he talking about? Well, he tells us, and he sums it up, all the commandments, with one word. And that one word is love. Love one another. And just before this, same night, the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, he said these words in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, again up on the screen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so Jesus is pretty clear about this. He sums up all 10 commandments with one word, love. The first three commandments have to deal with our relationship to God. Love God. And then the last seven deal with us and our neighbor, with each other. And that can be summed up with love one another. When we are loving one another, we are keeping the commandments that Jesus here is talking about. And as I mentioned, this is right after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet. And so the reason he did this is to show them what this love in action looks like. Because as you know, we've talked about this before, that the fact that Jesus, the master, the rabbi, the Son of God, was washing his disciples' feet, this was a job that was for the lowest person in the household, usually a slave. That would be the one that would wash people's feet. But Jesus is showing what this love in action looks like. And what it was is his humble servanthood, his humble service to his disciples is the example that we have. And to do this is to follow Jesus' command. So I have a few questions for you here this morning on Mother's Day. Are there people in your life specifically? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe it's a relative, somebody in your own family that could use some love. Are there people in our promised family? The family that we have here is brothers and sisters in Christ. For you to love with a Jesus kind of love. Are there brothers or sisters in Christ that you need to forgive of something that they have done to wrong you? And you just haven't gotten to that point where you feel you can forgive them yet. Are there brothers and sisters in Christ that could just use your help or who you could serve? Things to all think about when we consider this passage here, these words of Jesus. You know, this is what a family is all about. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus knew all the stuff that his disciples would be going through when they go out spreading the good news of Jesus. They were going to need each other as they went out so that they were not alone or felt like they were alone. The same exact thing goes for us as this family of promise here. In the smaller context, in the bigger context, that all our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. That's why it's so important that we continue to meet together like this on Sunday mornings so we can encourage one another, love one another, remind each other that we are there along with them. This is what a family is all about. But before we get to that, how do we know what this love is exactly? And how can we possibly do this, us sinners? Well, the answer is simple. The reason you and I can love each other is because Jesus loved us first. It's a line that I've said at all the weddings that I've had the opportunity to officiate here at Promise and different venues around Fort Wayne. Because Jesus loved us first, we can love our spouse, we can love our children, we can love our mom, we can love our dad, because of Jesus' love for us. And Jesus knew when he first said these words to his disciples that this was the night that would set everything in motion of where he would show the greatest love that any of us could ever imagine. John 15, verse 13, it's another words that same night that Jesus says later on. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Which is exactly what Jesus did, because he loved you that much. The greatest love ever shown was on that first Good Friday. And when Jesus said the words, "It is finished," it is finished. Our sins have been taken care of. We have been saved. And we get to go be with him forever in our forever home when we leave this world. Because Jesus first loved us, we can love. But it's hard to love some people, isn't it? Let's be honest. Some people are a little bit more difficult to love. Jesus knew this was the case. One of the reasons, obviously, he went to the cross, because you and I continue to fail at this. But let's look at John 14, verses 16 through 19. Right after he says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." So Jesus gives us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Somebody, you know, the third person of the Trinity, this isn't a rank, by the way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We are told in Scripture that we receive the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's also called the Comforter. He dwells within you, comforting you, helping you, guiding you. He's also called the Counselor, because he counsels you. As we are all walking about in our life, on this in this journey of life, the Holy Spirit is there with us every step of the way. And make no mistake about it. Please don't ever doubt this. The Holy Spirit is walking with you in your life. The Holy Spirit is walking with us here as a church here, Promise. The Holy Spirit is walking with us. He is walking in your family, in your home. He is with you, comforting, helping, counseling. And when Jesus says something, it's going to happen. He is the great promise keeper. He keeps all his promises, and he tells us one other promise here in these verses. Because I live, you will live also. Jesus would die and rise again. And you and I, baptized into his death and resurrection, means that we too will rise again on that last day. The grave will not be our final destination. But being with Jesus in his presence forever will be. And that's something to celebrate, right? He is risen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,